Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Hey, lady listeners.
Hey.
So stupid.
I feel so self-conscious knowing that my face is on the screen.
And it's probably not going to save, and everybody's going to be like, where's this video? And
I know, right?
For the people who are listening to the podcast, we are recording our faces as well. This
is Read Me Romance, did we say that?
Oh, yeah, this is the Read Me Romance podcast. We're here for Kennedy Fox, Roping the Cowboy. And
so we're trying something new this week. Yeah, we decided to video record ourselves audio recording this episode. So if it doesn't work, like Mel said, sorry.
This is like that thing where your kids are watching YouTube of people Minecraft.
Yes,
that's exactly what we're doing in like a soccer mom version.
But we all did our hair. So that was nice. Everybody looks so pretty today. This is probably the prettiest we've ever looked at one time, collectively.
Don't get used to it.
I know, right?
Yeah. Usually washing our hair is optional. But So, like I said, we are here for Kennedy Fox's Roping the Cowboy. Kennedy Fox is a writing duo, Brooke Cumberland and Lyra Parrish. They are USA Today bestsellers, and they share a love of the movies You Got Mail and The Holiday.
Oh, I love those movies.
Me too.
The Holiday is the Queen Latifah one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or no. Or is that the one with Cameron Diaz and
Jude Law and Jack Black?
Jack Black falls in love with what's her name? Kate? No, is it Kate? Oh, Kate Winslet. Yeah.
Which is holiday.
Totally believable.
Queen Latifah is not. That's not The Holiday.
What is it?
Something else. I don't know.
It's like it is like. I don't know. Now I'm going to have to look it up.
So when they aren't bonding over romantic comedies, they like to brainstorm new book ideas. And we're glad they do that.
We're
on the podcast this week.
I know. So welcome. If you're here for their book, buckle up. We're going to be here for a while. So
yeah. If you guys don't know what we do, and also since this is going to be on YouTube, hopefully if we get technology together, this is the Read Me Romance podcast. And what we do is we bring you a new audiobook every single week. It's always from a new author, probably an author that you've read if you love romance. We release the novella in 5 installments, Monday through Friday, and it always wraps up on Friday with the Happily Ever After. So it's basically audible for free. We're doing
absolutely.
It. Yeah, you get a new, that's Leah's description, actually. I can't steal that.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, but anyways, we bring you romance audiobooks for free, and
that's what we do. And that is that.
And that is that. So tell me what's happened to you guys since the last time we spoke.
What's today? Friday? When did we last talk? Last Thursday?
I feel like it was the day, was it the weekend before the Friday before the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah. Did you guys even watch that? No? Did anybody?
I watched it because I really liked the coach of the Rams.
Yeah.
That guy wasn't there. His little
his
mover
get back
guy?
Coach wasn't there. Yeah.
That somebody posted that in our Facebook group, Read Me Romance Headquarters. Didn't they say they wanted a romance based off that?
Male romance.
Yeah, because it's a guy that like goes and like so the coach goes up and down the sidelines, and this guy comes up behind him and he pulls him back anytime he gets too close to the ref or somebody's gonna hit him because the coach
he's
is
really watching
he's
the
watching the plays.
And he can get a penalty. He can get a penalty for being on the field or for getting in the way of the referee.
Yeah, so this guy is just hired to
and that coach would have been nailed multiple times by now without that guy.
Oh,
he's not paying attention to anything but that field.
I know, but that's so hot.
It is.
That, like, complete focus. Mm-hmm. And, like, he doesn't mind the guy yanking him back.
No,
which is, like,
he doesn't get mad. He's
and
like,
both good-looking and young and like, in shape. Just so delightful.
I was at the Super Bowl when I realized he wasn't coming. I was like, forget this. I'm not staying for the party. This is the only reason I was here. No, I mean,
we're at the Super Bowl
party my husband hosts every year.
Oh, I was like, wait, you said you didn't watch it.
She went there. No big deal.
She's like, oh, wait, no, I was there. I forgot.
Well, and technically yesterday was Valentine's Day. Did you guys do anything?
We have plans this weekend. Oh, sorry.
No, what are you going to do?
As long as we're not snowed in because it just started snowing. We're supposed to get like 5 to 8 inches. We have our Valentine's Day plans tomorrow with the kids, which is movie and a dinner. And then me and my husband go out Sunday for a movie. We're going to the Melting Pond. I love that place.
Oh, my God. I know you do. That's like, that's Mel's thing. When I went there to see her when we were editing everything for her, I went out and flew out there and we stayed the night together in a hotel. And she was like, let's go to the Melting Pot. Like that. She was so excited because we were in the city and she was like, I have an excuse. Let's go do it. But it's just plates and plates of food with dip. So
you don't have the Melting Pot?
Oh my God.
It's like cheeses. So the first round is cheeses with bread and carrots. And then you.
That's my thing. No, I could eat dip if I was on death row. I'd probably ask for guacamole and
you should look up the Melting Pot. They have them where you are.
Hummus. I love dips.
That's all. Okay. It's just fondue. So like Mel said, the first you get a salad. And then what's after that?
And then you get like a meat. You get to pick like three meats, like chicken, shrimp, steak, and you cook it all at your table in a bowl. And then you get dessert. You pick different chocolates you want, and they give you like strawberries and cheesecakes and brownies and cookies and stuff to dip in the chocolate.
Oh my God.
It's just all dips.
BRB, I'm going to go eat.
I know. God, we were talking about dips last night, too. I told her it was 2 years ago, I think, at the Super Bowl. I think it was 2 years ago. I made that cheeseburger dip, and it's like hamburger and queso and all this other stuff. But it tastes, and you put, like, you make the McDonald's secret sauce or whatever, and you put, like, ketchup and mustard on top of it. But it tastes just like a cheeseburger, and you eat it with Tostitos. Oh my, like I'm so hungry right now.
My Aunt Christine makes this buffalo chicken dip she makes on Christmas Eve, and it's like.
Oh, I love that shit.
I'm never, like by the time dinner is ready, I'm just, I can't even eat because I've just eaten like half the pan of it.
Yep. I make that a lot for my husband's work parties. He's like, hey, can you make that chicken buffalo dip thing? I'm like,
I should have known you'd have a recipe for it.
Oh, for sure. I'll hook you up, girl. Or do you not want to know? Maybe it's one of those things you don't need to know.
I mean, it seems like a lot of work.
It's like four ingredients, though, and then you just stick it in the oven. It's really easy.
All right. No, tell me. Send it to me. I'll do it.
I'll tell you right now. So it's a quarter cup. Just kidding.
Everybody's going, no, tell us.
I'll post it in headquarters.
Yeah, do that.
Headquarters is our Facebook.
Valentine's Day?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. If you're watching this on YouTube and you haven't been listening to the, like, if you're just checking this out for the first time. We have a Facebook group called Read Me Romance Headquarters, and it's just turned into this like really fun place where everybody comes and shares like whatever they want, and there's no shame, and there's also just like really funny, dirty, sexy stuff too.
It's my favorite group.
It's fun.
Besides my Harry Potter one, but okay.
Well, you know what's funny? A lot of people from the My Favorite Murder group have been joining.
Oh, no way. Really?
Yeah. So, Leah, I don't know if you, I know you posted in like one of your My Favorite Murder groups.
I did. I'm in two Murderino groups and I posted in both of them. I was like, hey, if you're a Murderino and you're into smut, I got you.
Well, there's crossover. So we've got some true crime fans that also like romance.
Well, that's what we talked about last week with M. Never, or 2 weeks ago when we recorded with M. Never. You know, we got in that long discussion about Ted Bundy because the three of us love true crime. And I was like, if the three of us just so happen to love true crime and also just happen to love smutty books, like, there's got to be more than just us, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
No, my husband did this thing, of where he was like, on Tuesday, he comes in and he's like, what do you say I take you out for an amazing dinner on Saturday night? And I was like, yeah, like, I'm listening.
Okay.
And he goes, I'm paying attention. He's like, but I have to work on Valentine's Day in order to get Saturday off. And I was like, okay, I see where that was going. But I don't care. I don't know. Valentine's Day, for some reason, it's sandwiched in between my birthday and my anniversary. Mm-hmm. And so it's always just like, it's almost just feels like too much.
Yeah,
so
it's just like a pass between. I don't mind. When's your anniversary, Monday. Mel? Because didn't you say it's close to your anniversary's Monday? Okay.
I don't
know. How many years?
I really don't. I'd have to go back and look. Because we randomly got married one day. Like, really randomly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just like, no, let's go somewhere else, get married, right?
Wait, we're going to explain that.
Well, it kind of, probably never would have gotten married, but between like court stuff with adoption and stuff like that, we had to get it married. So we just ran out and got married. But we've been together, lived together like over 10 years, longer than that. Like, I don't know. How old am I? I don't know.
You have to stop and think about it.
We'll be married 12 years on March 19th. And we kind of got married earlier than I thought we probably would have, but he's from Ireland and he hadn't been home in like a decade. because he couldn't go. Oh, wow. Yeah. So Irish people, what they do is they come here and they just don't leave. But yeah. he couldn't go home to visit his family because he wouldn't be able to get back. So I was like, enough of this. We know we're gonna get married eventually. Let's just do something small.
Yeah.
And then we ended up getting married. But
so you had a small wedding too?
No, it was supposed to be small. We were like, let's just do the courthouse and we'll all go get drunk afterwards. Yeah. And then my parents were like, what about just church? Like a little church? So then we ended up getting married in Manhattan, actually, and doing like a whole reception thing afterwards and spending too much money. But it was fun. It was a Tuesday night. It rained. It was like kind of a shit show, but that's everybody good luck, got though. Wasted. And that's when all that
it
matters.
It's supposed to be good luck when it rains on your wedding
day. Oh, yeah. I heard that.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's just something they tell brides. So
I guess
they don't
it remains
cry.
To be seen. Check in with me in 20 years.
Exactly. Now, Mel, when you guys got married, was anybody else there or was it just you two?
No, he had the lawyer, because I live in a small town, and it was just a lawyer, I think, that married us. The only lawyer's office in town. There was, like, random people there doing stuff with the lawyer, and they were our witnesses. And we went to the melting pot after.
Okay, we just brought that whole thing full circle.
Full circle. I was like, I don't remember Call what back. Year it was, but I remember we went to the melting pot.
Love it.
It's probably like 8 years, I think. It was like right after my son was born. He's like 9, right? No, he's 10. No, he's 9.
Oh my God.
You need to just get flashcards.
He's going to be 10 this year.
Yeah.
It's funny enough. I am 35. It's actually kind of funny. Her son and my daughter have the same birthday. Like they were, but it was crazy. They were born on the same day.
That is crazy.
We didn't plan it.
We just had the same cycle.
Yeah, exactly. Same, like, ovulation, sex, everything. We've synced up after all these years. No, so Valentine's was last night, and my husband had to work, too. So he's a city planner for our town or whatever. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Should I not? I don't know. I guess it's too late now.
I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay. No, so they had a council meeting last night, and he was like, most of the people that are older and retired, so they're not looking to do anything for Valentine's. He was like, the news already worn out if it's just another day for them. So he had to go to that last night, and I was like, oh, it's no big deal. But he ended up getting home at like 10 o'clock or so, and we sat on the couch and like watched The Office. And I was like, this is the best Valentine's ever.
I'm getting so much joy out of rewatching The Office.
Yep. It's the best.
It's so mm-hmm. It holds up so well.
It does. It holds up so well. But I don't know. I don't want to get into a long tangent about it, but I have strong feelings about Jim and Pam and their last season because I hated that, like, every...
I know. It was like they lost the magic.
Yes. And it was, like, every season before that, you know, it was about them falling in love and being in love and being happy. And their last season that they were together, they went through... I mean, it was real, and it felt so relatable on so many levels. And I understand why they did it, because every couple goes through those struggles. But it was really hard to see, like, in the end... You know, they were okay and they were happy and it all worked out. But I felt like the whole last season there was so much turmoil in every episode that when, you know, the final episode and they were okay, you know, it just didn't feel like enough. When it was like, no, I need like 2 seasons ago, happy Jim and Pam. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree with you.
I got strong feelings about that. Okay.
Because I think it's comedy, it's supposed to be more lighthearted, and to start mixing that in so late in the game, you're not a drama.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You're taking the specialness away from us right now. We come here for laughs and happy feelings, not
and
all
the... Okay it's okay to get serious every now and then, but that just, like, that hurts so much because, again, you know, I think when you read romance, you identify with pieces of what you read. And in that show, you know, I identified with, you know, Pam and Jim and their struggles and their love and their happiness and their stupid jokes and their inside stuff. Like, I related to that so much, and I hated, you know, to see that tested, you know, because I don't want to think about that in my own marriage. Like, you want to think about your own mortality, you know, or your own realities.
Yeah, no, you're totally right about that. I do, but just, like, hold on to that waterfall scene when they get married at Niagara Falls.
Oh, my God, stop it. Every fucking time I cry. At the end of it, when he was like, oh, that was plan C. He was like, I got those tickets the day that YouTube video went live. And he was like, plan A? that was marrying her all along from day one. And I was just like, oh my God. It's so good. Like,
so let's just start a petition right here, right mm-hmm. now to erase, scrub the history yeah. of the final season of The Office.
Absolutely. So no, let's exists. Do it. I still think, like, I need to get off The Office. I'm sorry. I'm going to talk about Holly and Michael now and talk about how great their love is. And I'm just going to get emotional and I don't want to think about it right now.
They replaced the Pam and Jim, like, scenario. Of
oh my
show.
God. That was yeah. just the perfect thing. So anyways. So,
other things that happened this week, my grandmother turned 94 and
holy shit. People live that long?
Yeah. A lot of people in my family lived to their 90s.
I saw that.
Is that an
class.
Irish thing?
I don't know, but my on both sides, my husband's side and my side, we both have like grandparents, great grandparents that lived to their 90s. It's encouraging.
I guess
it makes
so.
Me not so worried.
Sounds
that
exhausting.
I'm gonna die in a second. What'd you say?
That sounds exhausting. I'm tired now.
My mother drank a little too much at the party, and we were talking about movies, and she's like, you know what's a good movie? The Pianist.
Oh, The Pianist.
Everybody should watch The Pianist. Everybody's like, okay, Aunt Sue, and then they start talking about something else. She's like, hold on, Adrian Brody plays. And she kept trying to, like, talk about The Pianist, and we all just kept like going, okay, no, yeah, we've seen it. It's like 15 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
And then she stormed out because nobody will listen to her talk about The Pianist.
It sounds like you're saying The Penis.
And, well, that was the other thing. Like, we were like, please stop saying The Pianist over and over again in a room full of children. Yeah.
Oh my God, that makes me so happy.
And I'm getting my bathroom renovated upstairs.
Oh,
which
shit.
Is
what,
like,
are you doing?
So if you've ever lived in New York City, you know that like basically everything was built at a certain time period, like the 50s, and every bathroom has pink tile.
Yeah.
Like at head to toe pink tile, and it's awful. And every single apartment I've lived in since moving to New York City has had a pink bathroom with pink tile.
Yeah.
And I've dreamed of a regular looking bathroom.
Mm-hmm. I've dreamed
so,
of a pink bathroom.
No, Mel's
it's not a nice
that.
Pink. It's like a mauve-y, I don't know. It's not a nice pink. It's not what you're thinking. So
I know
anyways,
what you're talking about. My grandma still has that bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, all I want is just a gray and white bathroom, just totally just a basic bathroom. Yeah. And then now we've started planning it. And I'm like, what about vintage?
<It's> like,
so like
nah,
my
bitch,
husband's
you
trying
had
to
that.
Rein me in. I'm like, all of a sudden I'm like, this pattern here and this pattern
I did
here.
Our bathroom and it went from let's move this to ripping out the entire thing. It escalates quickly.
Your
That's
tub
exactly
was really pretty,
anticipate.
Mel. Like she had, when you redid your bathroom, Mel, that tub was really pretty.
Be careful with your tub. Tessa, if you need tub advice.
Yeah.
Tub advice?
We're going to give
well,
you
we're,
some
we're taking
tub
out the tub and just putting in a walk-in shower because I don't take baths.
Is it because you don't have a nice tub or you just don't enjoy
I
a bath?
I don't know. Like, I feel like it has to be, I don't know. It's weird. I haven't felt comfortable taking a bath in any bath except my childhood bath where I grew up.
Really?
Yeah. I always feel like so many people have been in it before me. So maybe it is just the fact that
maybe if you got
I
a new tub.
I don't have a new one. Yeah. I don't know.
So Mel got this really pretty clawfoot tub in her bathroom, and I had one in an older house that I lived in before that, and I remember Mel was like, look at this tub I got, and I was like, oh, girl, have you sat in that yet? And she was like, no, and I was like, those are really narrow, like, just check it out, you know, and she's like, oh, I'm sure it's fine, and then, like, I remember asking her afterwards, I was like, how is it? She's like, that's a little narrow.
That thing goes up your ass.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm going to rip it out, I think. I went and seen Jen Frederick last weekend, and her tub was, oh my God. I'm like, okay, I need to get a new tub. Because I love baths. That's like my escape, is a bath.
Yeah. So
that's
now.
What I thought I was going to do. But
so what? That's what I was going to. What's the deal with Jen Frederick's tub? Why is it so
It was
nice?
Just very. It was wider, and it wasn't as long, but it was just like deep, like a bowl. Like, yeah. I know that the clawfoot is deep, but this was, like, a different kind of deep. I felt like I was, like, in a soup bowl. I was like, this is nice.
Yeah. I like that about ours. I didn't see it before we bought it. my husband just sent me the links to the tub, and he was like, okay, pick from these three links, and they'll fit, like, all these sizes will fit. And I was like, okay, great. And so I picked the one, I like this shape. Like, I remember I sent it to Mel, and I was like, okay, talk me through this. Which one do you like? Like, let's brainstorm here. Because she's, like, knows everything about a bath. And so we're going through, and she's like, I like the look of this. And I'm like, okay, great. So I get it, and it gets delivered. And the day they're putting it in, I walk up, and I'm like, who the fuck ordered this gigantic swimming pool? I was like, who did this? It is so big, but it's like you said, Mel, where it's wide, it's not very long. Like, I can sit in it and stretch my feet out, but, like, I can't lay all the way back in it. But it's like I could sit side by side by myself in this. That's how wide it is. And so, but it's got, like, pillows and everything with it. And it's like, it's an air jet tub. So it doesn't have the jets that get gross. It actually just does bubbles. Like, it just does, like, air that pushes through it. So it's really nice. Like, that part I like too, that it has the option.
I can't believe the episode we were picking to put on YouTube, we're talking about bathrooms.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I keep forgetting we're recording.
We can tag that. We can tag, like, remodeling podcast, mutt.
This is what we do. We're all, like, our train of thought is just, like, a big
true crime, HGTV. We're just trying to take rope in all the audience.
Yeah, we're trying to get everybody on board here. So if you're redoing your bathroom, send us your emails.
All these men are going to be like,
readmeromance@gmail.com. So yeah, send all your bathroom remodeling pictures, before and afters. Read me romance.
So I'll bring it back to Roping the Cowboy by Kennedy Fox. So this is part of their Bishop Brothers series. The first book in that series is called Taming Him, and it's free this week. Sorry. And Falling for the Cowboy has the same characters from this story that you're going to be listening to. If you want to start from the very beginning, they can all be read as standalones. But if you want to start from the very beginning, Taming Him is where you need to start. And then Falling for the Cowboy is next. And then you have Roping the Cowboy here on Read Me Romance. And it takes place on a ranch. Have you guys ever been to a ranch?
Yes.
Yeah? Under what circumstances?
I live in the South. They're kind of everywhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We don't call them ranches here. We just call them farms.
Yeah, you got a lot of farms.
We just call them
farms. What's the difference? A ranch has
horses,
horse paddocks.
Well, we have those. We just call them farms.
Would a ranch have pigs and cows and stuff?
I would say cattle, maybe. You know, I guess cattle need more land, so maybe that's something bigger. Maybe it's the same thing, but maybe it's depending on the size, like your acreage.
I don't know. Or maybe we just call them different things.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like soda and pop.
Okay, so why have you been to a ranch? Just for, like, to visit?
Yeah, I mean, like, people around here just own them, and you go to their house, and, like...
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I
like,
see.
Go out and look at their so cows, foreign. Or...
I'm such a city girl.
I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're like, next door.
It's a ranch.
Yeah,
it's
like...
It's just a ranch.
One of my friends growing up, her dad, like, had cattle. Like, he just bought and sold cows and stuff, and they had, like, a big farm or ranch, like, a wooden fence area pasture, you know? I mean, it was huge. It was... like 100 acres or some shit. I don't know. But they had like a big barn, and we'd go out there and walk around and see the cows and like feed them hay and stuff, or go play
oh my
in
God.
The creek. Yeah. That was just kind of what we did.
So in the first chapter of Roping the Cowboy, our characters, Kat and Braxton, they meet at a honky tonk. And so it was such a foreign world to me.
Uh-huh.
And I ran into it. Like, I loved it. I loved the first chapter. There was, like, sex in the first chapter, which is always a plus. But I ran into one little problem, which is that there's, like, two-stepping in it and country dancing.
Oh, yeah, the line dancing.
And I have this weird cringe thing where, like, I, for some reason, line dancing makes me uncomfortable. And it makes me, like... nervous. I think it's because the people that are doing it are so, like, earnest.
Oh, yeah. Like, they're super into it.
They're, like, looking at you while they're dancing. It's so intense.
It's the intense eye contact. Is that what freaks you out the most?
I love that. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I'm doing my thing.
Fucking
and you're
doing
just
it
like,
with the two-step and the do-si-do.
I asked the listeners to send in things that make them cringe. Do you guys want to tell me what makes you cringe first, or do you want me to?
Shit, I forgot.
By the way, if you're a line dancer, I'm totally.
She's shaming. She is
you.
Shaming the shit out of you right now.
It's probably really fun and, like, brings you together with people who it's
similar. I don't know. Interest. You're like, I don't care if it brings you joy. I don't like it.
It's just one of those weird things I have. Like, when I read these emails to you, you realize there's really no rhyme or reason to what makes you uncomfortable or makes you.
Well, I was going to say, I know you told us to think about something that makes you cringe, but there's just so many things, and a lot of it's situational that I don't remember. I don't like it until it happens. I'm like, oh God, I hate that. But so go ahead. I'm going to see if I agree with any of these.
Mel, do you have anything yet, or do you want to wait?
No, the only thing I do with cringe is if I watch reality TV, like if they start fighting, I pause it and I get really uncomfortable and I have to go away and come back.
I would agree with that.
That's like, the whole point of reality TV.
I'm like, fighting. Oh my God, I can't watch this. And I'll like pause it and walk away. I have to like calm down and come back. I'm like, okay. So.
But I would agree with that because there's a lot of stuff on TV that makes me cringe. Like that fucking show, Nathan For You. Do you know that show?
No.
Oh my God. It is so cringe. I can't watch it. It gives me anxiety to watch the show because it's this guy and he says he's going to go help businesses be successful. But what he really does is it's on Comedy Central. He goes in and he fucks shit up. But what he's just so uncomfortable. Like he'll hit on someone and it's like these people don't know. And he's just like, he'll like, I made this beautiful painting for you and I just really want to see where this could go between us. And the people are like, no, like it's so cringing and it just, I can't watch it. And my husband loves this show and it like, I can't watch it with him. No, it makes me so uncomfortable.
That. And then at the end, he's like, just kidding.
Yeah. But he gets somehow, and he doesn't even say he's kidding. And he somehow gets people to sign these fucking waivers. I don't know how he does it.
What if they're actors too?
Oh God, no!
I'm that way with the show Four Weddings on TLC. Have you ever watched that show? Oh yes,
I like that show though.
It makes me I can't look away from it.
Yeah,
but it makes me so like think of you at your wedding, the happiest day of your life, and then you've got these three bitches
just like tearing it apart, standing in the corner,
judging every single thing, and there's giant camera lights on them. Like, think about that.
I watched an episode of that recently. I can't remember where I was.
And they all give each other shitty ratings on purpose. Yeah. And I hate that. But if I went on that show, I would give everybody a 10. I'd be like, 10, 10, 10. And then that just clears you of being petty.
But it makes, they do it. They calculate it so they can't do that though, right? Don't they calculate it where they say they throw out the lowest score? So like, even if everybody gave you shitty stuff, it wouldn't matter.
It just makes me, it's just like, especially now because they do it with friends. And I'm like, these girls aren't going to be friends afterwards.
No. Especially when they hear the one-on-one interviews and they're like, oh, that's what you said? It's like reality TV. These people are going to watch you talk all this shit.
Okay, let me read the emails. Okay. This is from Christy. Hi, ladies. Because I hate waiting, I usually wait until the end of the week to binge the week's stories, and usually it's at work because Fridays aren't usually crazy busy days and tend to be the one I use to catch up. So if it's Friday and my headphones are in, it's probably a bit naughty. I've mentioned the podcast to my husband because you're all hilarious and he knows it's sexy but hadn't really reacted. I just get a kick out of the fact that if anyone hits play on my phone, then they never know what they'll get. One of the things that makes me cringe, besides bad grammar or misused words, you guys ready for this?
Yes.
Unexpected guacamole.
What? What? That's amazing.
I agree with you. It'll randomly come on food.
Guacamole when I don't expect it, and sometimes even when I do. It's like biting down on phlegmy snot.
What? That is so weird. I love it.
Unexpected guacamole.
That's so specific.
That's the name of a band. If you ever start a band, immediately.
That's so specific. Yeah, we're definitely starting a band with that. But no, that's so specific. I like it.
Isn't it funny? Thanks for introducing me to a ton of new authors. I joined because of Jen Frederick and woohoo, and so many more. I'd love to hear. Keep up the good work.
Mel, what did you say? You said you agreed with that, though?
I hate guacamole, though.
Oh. Well, fuck you, then. Guacamole is delicious.
I love guacamole. Okay, this one is from Megan. This is also great. So I've been listening to horror podcasts since October, and I was like, this is a great genre, but where are the romance story podcasts? So after hunting a bit, voila, I found Raby Romance. The title said it all. So when the music started, I had a girly squeal fit, and I was ready to find out what this has got going on. Loving it, digging the shit out of it, actually. Been listening every morning. Mm-hmm. When I wake up and get ready since just after Halloween. And now my segue into Cringetown. Speaking of cringy shit, the following either scares me or just makes me want to scrub my brain.
Oh, God.
Smiling face masks?
Oh, like the Halloween masks or like like moisturizing masks.
I think that's what she means, is those ones that people are wearing now that like have the face.
Oh.
The word kudos. the sound a guy before a guy spits, like the snorty sound. And once at a thrift store I saw a teddy bear with false teeth in it.
Oh, fuck that. Burn that to the ground. That needs to die in a fire. Oh,
that is cringy.
That is just okay. Teeth. The word kudos. She probably can't listen to this episode now because we've said it like four times.
Hey, lady podcasters. I like that. So something a little unusual that makes me cringe is the word kind.
Kind? Oh, God.
It is my moist, but only when you're using it to describe someone. I don't mind saying things like, I love this kind of chocolate. But if you start talking about this guy you met and tell me he's just so kind, it makes me want to gag and possibly punch you in the throat.
Oh, no way. I love describing someone as kind. That's so specific.
I also can't stand reading it either. Even typing it to you now is making me irrationally annoyed.
The word
and I'm
even?
Realizing if you read this email on the podcast, I'm going to have to listen to it. Anyhow, love listening to you ladies and the awesome stories you bring each week. That's from Alyssa. Elissa.
So it's, she said the word even?
Kind.
No, kind.
Oh, I thought she said like even typing this now. I thought she gave another one.
Yeah,
oh,
she's saying even typing it makes me irrationally upset.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then one of the ones that somebody posted in the Jessica Clare posted when I asked for emails, she said cotton balls. And I was like,
what?
Yes.
What?
Cotton balls. Like the sound they make, the texture they make when you like
no.
Put them together. Mm-mm. No?
I hate the smell of change on your hands. You ever smelled that?
Oh,
smell of
change like on that your metallic. Hands. Yeah.
Yeah. And then somebody else said a series of holes or bumps.
Oh, yeah. That's actually like a disease.
It has a
thing.
Name. Yeah,
it's like trip to something. Too. Yeah,
something like
yeah.
That.
I have, like, I get that way, but it's just, it depends on what it is. But when I see it, it makes me want to vomit. Like, I have this, I'm automatically, like, I have this gag reflex, and then it gives me, like, this panic. I hate it.
I love this. I could talk about this. Send us more cringe stories.
Oh, I love this. I love the very, very specificness of it. Like,
that's
God.
What I love, too.
That's so
like,
great.
I probably have more, but I can't think of it. Right
yep,
now.
Some people have that about moist. I think that's a super common one. But that word does not bother me at all.
It doesn't bother me either.
Now, when I'm writing, there's a couple of things that will make me absolutely roll my eyes when I read it. And it's when somebody says... She says, like, the heroine, like, I tilted my neck to give him better access. For some reason, that crawls all over me. And
it's
I,
because it's overused.
Yeah, yeah, maybe so. And then, like, being caged in, like, that really bugs me, too. I don't know, for whatever reason, like, just that wording. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. Like saying she caged her in?
Yeah. I don't know why. It's like that just specific wording. I'm like just because maybe it's because it's overused or whatever, but.
I've probably used it several times.
Yeah, that's why I hate it because you've used it. That's actually why. The truth comes out. It's time for the
so
honest
the,
section.
The only other thing I wanted to tell you guys about was I started watching this show on Netflix called You. Have
oh,
you seen
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We watched it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, you guys should go check it out. Unless you have like a trigger for stalking. This guy meets a girl in a bookstore and based on the name from her credit card receipt, he's able to find her Instagram, like Google image search a picture from her Instagram and find her address just by Google image searching it. And yeah. I had never been more terrified.
Yes.
It's basically, I mean, he finds out everything about her in 30 minutes, which is a good lesson. But it's Penn Badgley from Gossip Girl.
Yeah, I think
right?
so. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did I ever tell you I walked through the background of a scene in Gossip Girl?
Yes. I think you mentioned it once on the podcast, but I love that.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. I think you said that when you did your Clooney one, when your friend was like, you didn't talk
oh,
about
Oh, that's
Clooney.
Right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so should we send them into the first installment of Roping the Cowboy?
What time is it?
Fox?
How long have we been talking? Has it been
35
an hour?
Minutes.
Okay, I guess.
So we're going to, for those of you who are watching this on YouTube, we're going to pause briefly and then we're going to come back.
And if this video never surfaces, I'm so sorry.
Here it is, the first installment of Roping the Cowboy by the fabulous writing duo Kennedy Fox. And take it away, narrator. Bye.
Chapter 1. Cat. 6 months earlier, Online dating is hell. Then again, so is being single, which is why I'm putting myself out there. The annoying voice in my head has been screaming at me lately, continuously reminding me that all my friends are married with kids and how I'm not getting any younger. Though I wouldn't classify myself as old, my mother and Grandma Gigi like to remind me I only have a finite number of eggs. To appease my nagging family, I signed up for a dating app. During the past month of trying to meet the one, I've been matched with complete pervs who instantly sent dick pics. They see me as nothing more than a booty call, but that's not what I'm looking for, and there's no middle ground. I'm not in any hurry to find someone just to fill a void because Mr. Wright has a lot of boxes to check, which is why I'm more single than a lost sock. It also doesn't help that I'm known around town as a heartbreaker. Going against my better judgment, I agree to meet up with one of the non-creepy men. His name is Noah, and he's sweet, considerate, and has his shit together, which is more than I can say about the donkey dicks who beg for my address 5 seconds after matching. Just thinking about finally meeting Noah has me nervous as hell. He's good-looking, with sandy blonde hair and blue eyes. Though he's a few years older, he's never been married and has no kids, which makes me wonder what's wrong with him. I laugh, because I'm sure the same thought crossed his mind about me. I'm 27, never been in a serious relationship, and my family is well known in this town for their money. But I'm ready to settle down and start a family, have kids, and live my dream life with someone who loves me wholeheartedly. Instead of meeting at a fancy restaurant that leaves nothing but expectations, I chose a fun club that plays country music. Since the middle of nowhere, Texas, has limited options, it's a popular place on the weekends. As I put on red lipstick and smack my lips together, nervous jitters get the best of me, and I start doubting this. I slip on a slinky blouse and skirt, then put on my favorite pair of heels, giving me 4 extra inches since Noah's over 6 feet tall. Before I leave, I take one last look at myself in the mirror and somehow muster enough courage to walk out the door. Once I'm in the parking lot of the bar, I pull out my phone and check the time. We agreed to meet around 8, so I send a message to let him know I've arrived. The bouncer checks my ID at the door and allows me inside. I make my way to the bar and save a seat for Noah as I order a cosmopolitan and wait for him. Time passes quickly, and as I finish my drink, I look down at my phone and see my message was read, but no reply. Perhaps he got caught up at the office, considering he's somewhat high profile. Or he got lost. Or his phone died right when he read my message. It's plausible. Just as I'm ordering my second drink and contemplating why he's not here yet, a man plops down on the bar stool next to me. A hopeful grin fills my face, but when I turn and realize it's not Noah, my expression quickly fades.
"Is this seat reserved?"
he asks with a thick southern accent. His green eyes bore into me as he flashes a charming smile. Lifting his baseball cap, he runs his fingers through curly, dark brown hair, and I can't help but notice how attractive he is or how amazing he smells. When he licks his lips, I find myself staring, then wandering down to study the scruff on his chin. Damn. He lifts his eyebrows, and I realize I never answered his question. Yes, it is, I tell him, taking a sip of my drink. But he just shrugs.
"Darling, you've been sitting here for almost an hour, drinking alone. Doubt whoever's supposed to be in this seat is showing up."
I narrow my eyes. Rude.
"I'm not the rude one, sweetheart. I wouldn't have stood you up. Trust me on that one."
He gives me a nod, then orders a beer. His confession causes my cheeks to heat and my heart to rapidly beat. This man is making me nervous as hell, so I try to focus on the cherry in my Cosmo, hoping he's not really standing me up. But if he is, maybe it won't be so bad after all. I'm sure he's just running late and doesn't have great reception, I say, making excuses. Opening the app on my phone again, I find he still hasn't replied.
I'm Braxton, he finally says, and I'm buying you a shot. Make it a double. Think you need it?
I shake my head. No, it's fine. I should probably go home.
You're gonna let some asshole ruin your night? Fuck him. If he can't even give you the courtesy of meeting up with you, then he ain't worth your damn time.
A smile touches my lips. Now I can drink to that. Braxton hands me a double shot of tequila, and we clink our glasses together. I lick the salt, take the liquid gold, then hurry to put the lime in my mouth. Tequila gives me too much courage, and I stopped drinking it for a reason, mainly because it gets me in trouble. The alcohol burns as it goes down, and Braxton shoots me a wink, then takes me by the hand. Before he can lead me out to the dance floor, I gulp the rest of my Cosmo, and then we go.
You never told me your name,
he whispers, placing his large hands tightly around my waist and pulling me close to his solid body. Considering he's so tall, I'm happy I wore these heels. I'm Katarina, but everyone calls me Kat.
Kat, I like that. Meow,
he chuckles, holding me in his strong arms as we two-step around the room. Eventually, the song changes to a slower one, and when I look up into his green eyes, I feel the fire burning between us. As if an electrical current pulls us close, our lips crash together and we greedily kiss one another. I know I shouldn't do this, but for one night, I want to feel wanted by someone, especially someone who's as sexy as Braxton. One-night stands aren't my thing, but I'm 30 miles from home, and I've never seen him around before, so he can be my best-kept secret just this once. One thing leads to another, and I become desperate for him. I feel like a lovesick teenager again as I tell him exactly what I want him to do to me.
Seriously?
He nearly chokes on my words. Come home with me, I tell him, allowing the tequila courage to take over. I'll get a cab. He agrees and follows me to one of the only cabs in the area that parks around the bars in town. Within 20 minutes, we're being dropped off at my house. We can't keep our hands off one another. And as soon as we're inside and the door closes, it's like our clothes magically fall off. Braxton's muscles cascade down his body, and he has one of those sexy Vs that leads straight to the full package. My eyes go wide, and he notices.
It doesn't bite,
he tells me. I grab him by the hand and lead him to the bedroom, not wanting to waste any time. His lips paint across my skin, and soon he's unwrapping a condom and fucking me so good I can no longer think of words. Just emotions and sounds. For once, I let go, enjoying myself, enjoying the way his dick slams into me and fills me satisfyingly full. We're panting and moaning. I'm happy I don't have many neighbors, though I'm sure the whole state of Texas can hear us fucking. Braxton is soft and gentle, but strong and rough all at the same time. I can't get enough of him. Even as the orgasm builds and spills over, I want more. As soon as I come, he flips me over and digs his thumbs into my hips as he takes me from behind. Moments later, he's exploding inside me, and the sound of his throaty moans as he comes is the sexiest sound in the world. We quickly clean up, then collapse on my bed, where he holds me like we've been lovers for years. When the reality is, we've known each other for only a few hours. The spring morning comes early, and the sunlight peeking through my window wakes me. My eyes flutter open, and that's when I realize my bare body has a strong arm wrapped around it. Realizing what I did, well, what the tequila made me do, somewhat makes me freak the fuck out. Slowly, I slide out of my bed and try to sneak to the bathroom, but he stirs, causing me to freeze mid-step.
Kat, he asks, where are you going?
I pull the sheet from the bed and secure it around my body. Braxton, I say, actually remembering his name. Memories from last night come back to me in snapshots as he lies completely naked and confident in my bed. You need to leave. He narrows his eyes at me. Seriously? I suck in a deep breath, then release it. Yes, sorry. This was a total lapse of judgment on my part, to which I blame my old friends tequila and vodka for my impulsiveness.
Okay, then, he says, not even hesitating.
I know he's pissed as he confidently walks naked toward the living room where our clothes are scattered across the floor. I hear him talking on the phone and asking someone to pick him up.
What's the address here?
He asks loudly, and I tell him as I slip on a t-shirt and shorts. Within 10 minutes, the front door swings open and then closes. I pick up my phone to delete the stupid dating app that got me into this mess and hope no one saw him leaving. Rumors fly around here like planes, and for once, I'd like to keep last night to myself.
Chapter 2. Braxton. Present day. Fuck, I shouldn't have stayed out so late last night. I groan as I help Colton load hay onto a trailer. The September sun is barely awake, though I'm surely not. But that's the life of a ranch hand. I've been working at the Bishop Ranch for a little over 4 years and everyone treats me like family, though most of mine are still in Alabama. You chose it, man. I told you to stop going to the honky-tonk. Way too much damn trouble's just waiting down there, he tells me with a smug grin. And possible STDs. You know I ain't bringing nobody home without a background check these days, I remind him. We finish loading everything, then drive over to the barn where the training horses are kept close to the bed and breakfast on the property. I help tend thousands of acres with about 20 other workers, but I'm the main runner, meaning I help the bishops wherever they need me, which makes each day interesting and different. Oh, you mean since Cat, he snickers, purposely giving me shit. We park, and I give him my best go-to-hell look. No? Right. You've basically been brokenhearted ever since she kicked your ass out with your dick between your legs 6 months ago. I really don't want to relive that again, but thanks for the reminder, I say as we hop out of the truck and stack the hay in the loft above the stalls. It takes us no time to finish. I pull off my gloves and hear my stomach growl. Breakfast? Let's do it. Colton looks at me with a grin, and we both turn. John Bishop runs the B&B and likes to give us a hard time when we steal breakfast. But we have permission from Mama Bishop, and she rules the roost. Colton and I walk in, going straight to the buffet table, and load our plates with eggs, bacon, and biscuits. Just as we sit down and I stuff my mouth, I see Colton's eyes widen. What? He shakes his head. Nothing. Rolling my eyes, I turn around. First, I see dark brown hair and a skinny waist, and then I hear her voice as she speaks sweetly to John. Oh, fuck me. She already did, Colton snickers under his breath. What the hell is she doing here? I hurry and finish my breakfast so I can sneak out without her noticing me. It's for the best, considering I'm still pissed about the whole situation. After our night together, she told me to leave. But since I had left my truck at the bar, I had to call Colton to pick me up. As soon as I got in his vehicle, he burst out laughing at my humiliation. Then he informed me she's cousins with John's wife, Mila. Out of all the women in Texas, of course I hooked up with the number one heartbreaker in El Dorado, who apparently still holds that title. After that night, we would randomly bump into each other at the grocery store. She said hello with a forced smile, and that's as far as the conversation went. Each time since, the distaste we have for each other has become more apparent. It's a small town, and though I've lived here for years, we never previously met. I work more than I have a social life, and she runs in different social circles. Never in my life has someone treated me with such repulsion. But here we are, months later, and she's still on my mind. You might be able to sneak out the front door if you get up right now, Colton tells me, noticing I'm looking for an escape. The last time I ran into her was at the B&B a few months ago, and it wasn't a friendly conversation. Taking his advice, I quickly stand, but Kat walks up before I can escape. Colton! She squeals before noticing me, which causes her whole demeanor to change. She immediately becomes more reserved, as if she's building a wall between us. Braxton? I'm sure she only spoke to be polite. She turns back to Colton, sounding way too chipper, which only annoys the piss out of me.
How's the wedding planning going? How's Presley?
Kat completely bombards him with questions, but she had a crucial role in helping with the proposal, making sure Presley was at the right place at the right time. But damn, they've only been engaged for a month. When Presley stayed at the B&B to take photos for her Instagram business, she and Colton fell madly in love. She moved from LA to here, and the rest is history. They're disgustingly cute together, and most of us aren't as lucky to find what they have. I'm sure as hell not.
You two should come down to the bakery sometime and let me make you some wedding cake samples, Kat continues, holding a box of pastries in her hand.
I'm sure she'd like that. Please tell me you've got some of those pumpkin muffins I taste tested. Colton gives her a grin, but the only thing I can focus on is her. She's so damn beautiful, it actually hurts to look at her. The memories of our night hit me in full force, and it feels like I was holding her in my arms only yesterday. There was a real spark between us. The attraction was undeniable, and I honestly thought she was different from every other woman out there. I thought she was special. But fuck was I wrong. Remembering the soft moans that escaped her lips as I fucked and kissed her has my dick growing hard. I forced the thoughts away, but it's almost impossible when the sweetness of her scent surrounds me. Kat opens the box, and Colton snags a muffin. I try to keep my comments to myself, but it's too damn hard with how I feel right now. Oh, is that some of that gluten-free, sugar-free, organic, taste-free crap you bake? The last time I saw her, I made crude comments about her healthy shit, and she wasn't impressed. Good. All I want her to do is go away so her memory can stop taunting me. Kat's mouth transforms into a firm line.
Why are you so damn rude? They don't teach y'all manners in Alabama?
She has no right to talk about manners, considering hers are subpar. You can't knock 'em till you try 'em, Colton insists around a mouthful. Sounds disgusting. I'd rather not. I don't like eating pumpkin-flavored cardboard. If looks could kill, I'd be dead right now, but I get way too much satisfaction from pushing her buttons.
When will you learn that if I want your opinion, I'll ask for it? She asks between gritted teeth.
I shrug. Just being honest, which I think is a good trait in a person, something you wouldn't know much about. She scoffs, and I watch her face flush with anger.
You're an asshole.
I snort. That's all you've got? Disappointing. Just as she opens her mouth to say something back to me, John walks up. Double the order for tomorrow until we can figure out a good amount of pastries each morning. Each morning? I ask, knowing it's none of my business. Several months ago, it was mentioned she might be providing the B&B with healthy options, but I didn't think it had really happened. This is the South. We ain't got no room for that hippie shit. Yeah, she's gonna be delivering pastries each day starting this week. He looks at Kat with appreciation, who gives him a sweet smile. Just like flipping a switch, she's covering up her emotions and pushing her anger away. As soon as John walks off, she narrows her eyes at me. Guess my mornings are gonna suck from here on out, I tell Colton, pretending she's not there.
Well, you're not a bundle of joy to be around either.
Colton bursts out laughing. You two are ridiculous. Maybe if she wasn't a spoiled brat and actually cared about other people, it wouldn't be like this. I tell Colton, expecting her to retort with something harsh. Instead, she storms out of the B&B in a huff. Perfect. Colton stands and puts away our dirty plates. So that went smooth. You two gonna be at each other's throats every day now? All I can do is shake my head. Having to see her every morning is going to be absolute torture. I haven't been with another woman since that night with her. The truth is, I haven't wanted to, which is really putting a damper on my player reputation. I'm pretty sure Kat broke my dick and my ego. As we walk outside, I know I need to get her out of my head. Have a good time and get laid. Let's go out this weekend. Colton looks at me and grins. Okay, but Presley's coming along. At least we'll have a designated driver. I shrug and realize I've become the third wheel. Fucking great.
And we're back.
Hey! Why is this so weird this time? I don't know. It feels like someone's here with us. Like there's someone new.
That people watching on YouTube.
We just like all look down and check our text messages during that time. And now knowing people are looking at our faces. Yeah.
Do you think people who are watching this on YouTube thought they were going to get the narration there?
Yeah, no. Oh, I wonder if they did. I wonder if they thought they were going to hear the audiobook.
Oh, yeah.
But our website is there. You're not.
Sorry. Well, if you want to hear the audiobook, you got to tune into the Read Me Romance podcast. The links are in the
YouTube video description. It's totally free. You just got to go there to hear it. We can't play. And that's something else we talked about before is sometimes we don't exactly talk about what you're about to hear or what's about to get played because we have no idea when this gets recorded and the narrators do their awesome thing and then it gets sent to Lola, our producer. We don't know when the breaks are going to be, you know, how long each episode is going to be.
We don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like if we start talking about something that's going to happen, you know, like, oh, you're about to hear this. Well, what if it doesn't? And then you're like, fuck, when does that happen? And there's nothing worse than, like, that sort of anticipation on something that's not going to be there. So a lot of times we just try to give a generalization of the book or where we're at during the week and that kind of thing. So
yeah, and then just let it be a mystery that kind of unfolds.
Sometimes we know if it's, like, our book. Like, if we know specifically, yeah. Like, Tess is like, I wrote 10 chapters. There's going to be two today, you know, that kind of thing. But even, like, with Alessandra Torre, like she's got an episode that's only like 3 minutes long. I mean, it's really short because she wrote like an hour, you know, the day before. She had written like a super long chapter and then it was just a short one that followed.
Because it switched to a point of view and it was just a quick point of view.
Yeah,
from the hero,
exactly. So. And then it goes back to the heroine. Yeah. So like, you know, that happens sometimes and we never know how that's going to shake down.
You never know what you're going to get.
Exactly. It's like Forrest Gump.
Just like keeping you on your toes. Okay, so if you want more Kennedy Fox or you don't want to wait for till tomorrow for your next fix, you should check out Taming Him. It's free this week only. I'm going to try and we'll put the links in the YouTube video too so they can go check it out. Falling for the Cowboy is also within the same world and involves the same characters. It can be read as a standalone, so you should go check that out as well. Their entire backlist is on Kindle Unlimited. I know a lot of you guys have Kindle Unlimited, so that's a huge win. And they're giving away a signed paperback and a swag. So if you want to enter that giveaway, we'll put the link in the podcast description so you can go click it and head over to our website. And also out today is Red Hot Winter by Kay Webster, which was on this podcast originally, and now it's out in ebook, and it was super hot, and everybody loved
it. It was so fun. Yeah, that was a great one.
It was like older man, younger girl.
Yeah, it was hot.
Can't call her a woman.
It was so dirty. It was
great. Yeah, it was super hot. Okay, and do you want to tell them about the other one, Mel?
I don't remember what I sent. I can't pull it
Halo.
Up.
Halo.
She's video recording this shit.
Oh, I just happened to run across that one. The cover reveal was this week, so I didn't get to read the book bio. I just knew that Halo by Ella Frank is out and Brooke Blaine,
yeah.
Oh, wait. Alexa Riley has a book out this week. What's today's date?
It comes out Friday. Your book comes out Friday, I'm telling you.
Oh.
March 1st. And today is the
We have one out already, yeah. So The Virgin Husband.
Is out.
Yeah. Yeah, The Virgin Husband.
I have Virgin Wife here.
That's the one that's coming March 1st. So it's a duet. There's a Virgin Husband and a Virgin Wife.
The Virgin Husband will be out before this airs.
I'm excited about that one. I'm excited about those ones.
Well, and like this great too, because the virgin wife, she's a bitch and she gets her redemption. So, because that was something that we talked about that we really wanted to write. I was like, you know, sometimes women are just made out to be, you know, the bitches and stuff in the books, you know, where if you have a couple that's happy, maybe there's a woman that's trying to come between them, or, you know, like there's somebody trying to break them up or whatever. There's always like a woman that's, you know, drama. And I was like, well, what if she had reason to do this? Like, what if, you know, she really, like, she was sort of pushed into this life? Like, how could you redeem her from that? And Mel was like, what about this? And they just kind of went from there.
I love redeeming characters.
And one of the character side characters might be coming up in a podcast book from Alexa
Riley. Yeah. We wrote a small little couple in the Virgin Husband that's out now. Go get it. Kindle Unlimited, 99 cents. In the Virgin Husband, there's a couple that's in there that we think might be in a podcast book. So that might be coming this summer. Yeah.
Little Easter egg there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a book, Halo, as well, by Ella Frank and Brooke Blaine. It's a male-male rock star romance, and they're going to be on the podcast eventually, so check that out. And I think that's it. We'll be back tomorrow with more. Leah, tell them what to do.
Oh, wait, make sure you subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Rate, review, and subscribe. Really helps us out. If you're on YouTube, follow us. If this video works, if it's there, make sure
we'll
you subscribe.
Post a few more. Yeah, maybe we'll try posting them on Mondays and seeing what happens.
Yeah, just see them, just to roll on the dice. But yeah, fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick. It's Monday. Start your week off right. Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance.